So I think we'll kind of steer the ship back into the port of clinical medicine now that we've had a little fun. And I love picking your brain about biology and stuff, but let's kind of get a little bit more practical and clinical. And before we get off HER2, because it kind of came up when you were talking about these cases, just at a really basic level of how you approach patients who are, quote, triple positive, ER positive, and HER2 positive. You know, with metastatic disease in general, if somebody's ER positive, they're going to be on hormonal therapy indefinitely. If they have metastatic disease and they're HER2 positive, they're going to be on anti-HER therapy indefinitely. And yet, when you actually hear cases presented in practice, the HER thing seems like it is playing out. But the estrogen therapy, I'm not so sure about. I think a lot of times it seems like people are delaying it. They're not using it. They're not sure whether to use it. How do you approach the triple positive patient with metastatic disease?
So the PERTAIN trial that has recently been published in JCO, I think, is a helpful trial to us. It was a mixed population. They were all ER positive, HER2 positive, front line, I think for the most part, if not entirely. And they received an aromatase inhibitor plus trastuzumab with or without pertuzumab. That was the variable, was the pertuzumab. But the patients could have started with a taxane and trastuzumab with or without pertuzumab and then finished the six cycles of the taxane and then gone over to the aromatase inhibitor. So it was a little bit of a mixed population. However, they did look at that. In the forest plot, they looked at those who had antecedent taxane versus not, and the pertuzumab was spot on the same in terms of a very good hazard ratio in terms of progression-free survival. And the overall survival, the progression-free survival was about 16 to 18 months in that trial, which is exactly what we saw with the CLEOPATRA trial, was 18 months in that trial. So it looks very good. It was a smaller trial. It was more on the lines of a randomized phase two sample size. It wasn't CLEOPATRA sample size, so they're not going to have, you know, power for survival, but it was very persuasive that pertuzumab worked very well. If you did not get a taxane and you just started with an AI plus trastuzumab and pertuzumab, that you would get a PFS that was the same, basically, as the CLEOPATRA. So I think that really opens up a new opportunity for patients who are triple positive in the metastatic setting first line. I don't think we have to give everybody a taxane, trastuzumab and pertuzumab. We can use an AI. The thing is, though, Neil, is that many patients who are first line metastatic with triple positive disease, many of them present de novo metastatic, and they have very aggressive disease, very aggressive bony disease. It's not usually your small volume disease. Although sometimes patients will present with a locally advanced breast cancer and may have smaller volume disease, but then you've got this big locally advanced cancer that you'd really like to get down, you know, and get the patient to mastectomy. So, you know, from a practical standpoint, I think many patients are still going to end up getting chemotherapy plus pertuzumab and trastuzumab because of just volume of disease that you've got to get control of and you want to get good local control. And then they really, I think, should, you know, ideally go on to the addition of an aromatase inhibitor to trastuzumab, pertuzumab as maintenance therapy based on the good results from the PERTAIN trial. So that's what I do.